Can you know God personally? I mean, is God a person that we can have a relationship with? The one woman in the video said, no, he's not a person. You can't know him personally because God's not like that. Really? Is God just a concept? Or is God a higher power, a being beyond our ability to relate to? Sigmund Freud, the founder of psychoanalysis and the father of modern psychology, said, we created God in our own image as a father figure. But the Bible tells us that God created us in his image. So which is it? Do we just create God in our own image, or did God create us in his image? That he created us, designed us to live in a loving relationship with himself. Now, arguably, all human beings crave relationship. It's just part of who we are. Now, you may know a few people that just don't care for relationships at all, but all of us need that. In fact, there was a study done by some psychologist that substituted an animal mother, a monkey's mother, and just put some nipples on a terry cloth stuffed animal that produced the milk that they needed. The infant monkey was able to hold onto the terry cloth monkey mom and get the milk that that monkey needed. But those monkeys were stifled in their relationships. They weren't able to grow and mature, and they eventually just died. We need even physical touch of relationship, or else we indeed will die. God created us to need relationships. God created us in his image, we are told in Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God created us to enjoy him in all of his infinite love and goodness and beauty. Now, lest that sound egotistical, God didn't need us to complete himself or to have a greater joy. God didn't create us out of his own need so he would have beings to worship and praise and enjoy him forever. God didn't need us to be complete or to have greater joy, but as a relational being, God, who is relational at his very center of his being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in Trinity, from eternity past through eternity future, he was always a relational God at the very core of his being. As a relational being, God created us to enjoy his fellowship. He created us so that we can experience the extreme joy of knowing him. He is so good that it's going to be overwhelming when we're allowed to see him as he is in paradise. One verse sermon. Oh, you know me better than that to know I'm not going to just stick with one verse, but this is going to be our outline for today. Is God personal? Can I know God personally? No! You can't know God personally? Incidentally, for the recording, that was my grandson. So God says he's relational, created us in his image as a relational being, not in his physical image, obviously, not in the fact that he's omniscient. We're not. We're not omnipotent like he is, but in his personal attributes of love and kindness and goodness and be able to speak and relate to us through language and speak to our hearts. Yeah, God is personal. So Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you told us you created us in your image. You created us in order to be able to have a relationship with us. Help us through these simple words to understand that relationship. What initiates it, what drives it, what enables it, and what is the fulfillment of that relationship, and what it means for our everyday life. Lord, would you open our hearts and open our minds that we would know you personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen. Listen. I am standing at the door. This, of course, is a metaphor for our lives. It is written to the Church of Laodicea, a specific congregation who had the outward appearance of believing in Jesus, but did not have a personal relationship with Jesus. They were just lukewarm Christians, if you could even call them that. And Jesus is saying to the church, if any one of you would just simply open the door and let me into the church. Now, I trust that in this church, we've opened the door and let Jesus in. But if anyone, it brings it down to the personal level. If anyone would open the door of their heart, of their life, God wants to come and make himself personal to us, to initiate a personal relationship to us. And so the first of the great truths of this simple passage is this: it is God who initiates. We believe in a personal God who initiates that relationship. Listen, I stand at the door and knock. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because God first loved us. God took the initiative to reach out to us. It is not in our nature to seek after God in our own sinful human frailty. It's not in our nature. In fact, if we have a desire to seek after God, it's because God has already, in some way or another, reached out to us, calling us to himself, planting that desire in our hearts so that we will try to seek him. Jeremiah 29:12 says, if you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all your heart. But it's God who puts that desire even to seek him in there. Behold, listen, here I am. I'm standing at the door of your life, of your heart. It is God who initiates the relationship. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. God came into our world seeking us. It's God who initiates that relationship. We can't even begin a relationship. We wouldn't even think about that relationship unless God has already ingrained it in us. It is God who initiates a relationship. Secondly, it is a God who communicates with us. And he communicates his will. He communicates that desire to us. If anyone hears my voice, and it's a particular characteristic of relationships, of interpersonal relationships, to communicate. Women know that more than men. Women know that a relationship needs to be spelled T-A-L-K. Relationships begin with communication. It is a God who communicates. And God began communicating even in the creation of the world when God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the whole beginning of our universe and world began with a communication of God. And Jesus in Scripture is called the Word of God. What do you use words for? You use them to communicate. And Jesus is the great communicator of God's love and person to us. Now, you may be saying, oh, yeah, whales can communicate. Yeah, they can, and dolphins and some other animals can communicate, but they don't have the sophisticated language that includes feelings and desires and can create an intimacy, a closeness. So it is a God who communicates to us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the past, God spoke, communicated to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. And God had many different ways in the past that he communicated his will to us. For Moses, it was a burning bush. For others, God spoke through angels or visions in various ways, it says. But in these last days, and we're in the final era of God's salvation history, the era of Christ, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son in a personal way. God came as a person into this world to communicate his heart to us. And so it is a God who initiates, a God who communicates. Here I am, listen, if anyone hears my voice, God has communicated to us. In John 10, 27 and 28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. God communicates. But as Jesus communicates this gospel, so as sheep hear his voice and are given eternal life, it is a God who invites and empowers. Let me take the first part of that. I had to put empowers there because we have to understand how we can respond to that invitation. But it is a God who invites, a personal God who invites us. And in this passage, he invites us by saying, and opens the door. That's the invitation. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door. That's an invitation. It's not a command. Open the door! No, it's if anyone would open the door, it's an invitation. Jesus said, Matthew 11, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me, it's an invitation. Jesus gave many invitations. Jesus said, come on, with me, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That was to his disciples, but he tells that invitation to all of us. In Revelation 22, 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come. It's an invitation. It echoes Isaiah 55, 1. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And those verses tell us that the invitation is given to those who would not be able to respond. We're poor, we're penniless, come buy and eat. No, we don't have anything to buy it with. And he says, don't worry, it's without money and without cost. But you still have to come. Come, it's an invitation. But in that invitation is the power to respond to that invitation. When God speaks, he speaks with power. When God gives a command, let there be light, his very words create the potential, create the ability for there to be light. Let there be light, boom, there was light. And when God speaks to us and he gives us a command, he gives us the power to fulfill that command. When God gives us an invitation, he gives the power, he empowers us to receive that invitation. Richard Lenski, late Bible expositor, says this, the king comes to the door, stands there, knocks, calls with his voice. In this lies the power that moves the will to open the door. The Lord's power of love and grace in and through His Word. Did you catch that? When the invitation comes through His Word, He also gives through that Word His love and grace that empowers us and softens our heart that we'll want to respond to the Word. It reaches into our heart and moves our heart to open the door of our lives, of our heart, to receive the invitation. Romans 10:17 says, so faith takes faith to open that door, to respond to the invitation. So faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. The gospel is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to reach our heart, to bring conviction, and to respond in love to this loving invitation. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Without the power of the gospel of the word, we wouldn't even want to open the door. He'd be standing there knocking, and there's many, many people who the Lord continues to knock. And even though God gives the grace to respond, they harden their heart and said, no, I don't want to open the door. I don't want you to come in. Stay away. Oh, how horrible. This gracious invitation of a loving God, of the King of the universe, come to us individually. And we can say, no. He gives us the power to say yes. He initiates, He communicates, He invites, and even empowers us to open a door. If we do open the door, if we do respond by grace, if the grace and empowering that God gives, it says that He is a faithful God. He keeps His promise. He says, I will come in. God is faithful. He'll do what He says. If we open the door, He will come in. I will come in. I've listed a number of verses there. I'm not going to read the references. You can look them up. That's why I give you a sermon outline. He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. I will come in. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. God will do what He says. He is a personal God who keeps His own word. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As surely as God is faithful, but the Lord is faithful, He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Or 2 Timothy 2:13, I'll give you this one. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He's faithful even when we're faithless. And so He is a God who initiates, who communicates, who invites and empowers, who is faithful, a God who desires fellowship with us. I will come in. I will do what I say I will do. I am faithful. And I desire fellowship with you and eat with them and they with me. Eat with you and you with me. Well, what does that mean? God's hungry and He needs a meal. He wants to come in and you're supposed to feed Him. Is that what it means? Oh, in the ancient Near Eastern world, to come in and to have a meal with anyone is to come and enjoy fellowship with them. In our modern age, we have missed that. Many homes in America, many homes in other first world countries don't have a dining room table around which a family would gather and enjoy a meal together. Psychologists have discovered, sociologists have discovered, how valuable that time of gathering together and eating a meal together is. Those who have been deprived of that become more stunted in their relational ability, in their ability even to communicate well, in their academic ability. You don't even know, can't even imagine the gift you give to your children just by having meals together on a regular basis. Anthony Daniels, a psychiatrist in England, retired from that now. He goes by the pen name Theodore Dalrymple, said when he went in and visited homes in the lower classes of England, of British society, he says the most remarkable thing that he noticed is there was no table to eat at. There were TV trays. There was a microwave, oftentimes not even a stove, but there was no place that people have grown up not understanding the fellowship, the closeness that you have just eating a meal together. And so when God says, I will come in and eat with you, it's meaning not that he's hungry, but that he is desiring your relationship. He is hungry for that interpersonal relationship. That's what he made you for. And there is a intimacy, a closeness that is involved with that. I was going to say, instead of a God who desires fellowship, a God who desires intimacy. But we get all hung up with that about sexual intimacy, but that's not what intimacy at its core really is. It is, if you look up in the dictionary definition, of being in a close personal association and belonging together. It is a familiar and very close affective connection with one another as a result of a bond that is formed through knowledge and experience of the other. God is saying, come, I want you to experience me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, have a meal together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants our fellowship. Genuine intimacy in human relationships requires dialogue, right? Communication, transparency, vulnerability, and reciprocity. What greater vulnerability could God have demonstrated than coming and emptying himself and becoming like us, even to the point of dying on a cross? Talk about transparency and vulnerability. That's the degree to which he would go to have that personal relationship with us. And so if we say, no, I don't believe that we can have a personal relationship with God, then we are just thumbing our nose at the cross and saying, no, God, I don't care how vulnerable you became, I'm not becoming vulnerable with you. I don't care how transparent you were in just laying it all bare, naked on a cross. That's transparent. I'm not going to open my heart and allow you to invade my life. No, God, that's okay. I don't want a personal relationship with you. You can say that, and you can live in all of eternity separated from the presence of Jesus Christ, separated from the presence of God. That's what hell is. God won't force you to enjoy him forever. You can live separate in eternal darkness, all alone, no relationship at all for eternity. That's one option. Or you can enjoy an intimate, close fellowship. And I dare say this, but you know, God created human intimacy and even sexual intimacy, so we can begin to experience something that approaches the ecstasy of being in the presence of a God who is sheer joy, sheer goodness, sheer love, that in heaven it is unbelievable closeness and connection that we've always longed for, but never been quite able to fully grasp in this existence. That's what we were created for. Can I know God personally? I pray that you do, and if you don't, that you would cry out to him today to say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. I hear you knocking. Give me the grace to open the door of my life. I'm afraid. I'm hesitant. But Lord, let me fling open the door so that you can come in and have the fellowship with me you desire. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a personal God and you created us in your image to have a personal relationship with you. Thank you that you demonstrated that beyond a shadow of a doubt by sending your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, into this world so we could experience him and hear his voice and respond to his invitation. Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not responded to that invitation, may they hear you knocking. May they hear your voice. May they open the door and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you want a relationship with me. I open my heart by your grace and ask you to come in. Oh, Lord, teach me what it is to live in a personal relationship with you, in a saving relationship with you that will last for eternity. Oh, Lord, may all of us live and grow and deepen in that personal relationship with you. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.